As a young woman, Elizabeth Ann Bailey really did have it all. She had more than most people could even ever dream about. She was born into a wealthy New York family in 1768, and then married into an even more powerful family when she wed the most eligible bachelor in town, William Seton, in 1794. Fate had marked her out to be the queen of New York society, a woman with an absolutely brilliant future ahead of her. But then, a series of tragedies struck. Her husband's father died, and the family business went into ruin. William and Elizabeth had to flee to the city of Livorno in Italy and live off the charity of the only family friends that would take them in. Then William got terribly ill and died, leaving a 29-year-old woman alone with five children in a foreign country. The family that took her in, the Felicis, were wealthy and important enough to have a private chapel in their house where the Blessed Sacrament was reserved by the permission of the bishop. And Elizabeth found herself drawn more and more to that little room with the little candle flickering before the tabernacle. On Corpus Christi of that year, Elizabeth went with all the rest of the townspeople to see this procession that she had heard so much about. As the Blessed Sacrament passed by, for some completely unknown reason, the priest stopped the procession and turned the monstrance toward Elizabeth and blessed her personally as she knelt on the cobblestone streets. Jesus had passed by and stopped to bless her, and her life would never be the same ever again. Elizabeth and the children returned to New York, and in 1805, she was received into the Catholic Church at St. Peter's on Barclay Street. Not too long after, this intrepid woman, who was shunned by family and friend alike for converting from the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant country club atmosphere of high society to the Catholicism of Irish washerwomen and Italian peasants, this intrepid woman took vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. Elizabeth founded the Sisters of Charity, and until she died at the age of 46, she spent inexhaustible hours founding schools and hospitals and other charitable organizations to live and carry on the faith she found quite literally at the feet of Jesus. You know, one of the greatest stories in the history of the church is the American parochial school system. There's no country on earth which has ever had something quite like what we have built, this whole system of parishes throughout the country that have schools to carry on the faith. Had it not been for that one moment with our Lord, then we would have never have had generations of Catholics in this country trained in their faith and formed as disciples of Christ. This incredible woman was raised to the altars as a saint in 1975 by Blessed Paul VI. Now, some of you know that last week I was in New York for the Sacra Liturgia Conference. I had been invited to give a talk about liturgical formation and Catholic identity. And I have to tell you, it was one of the most beautiful weeks of my life. You know, the talks were all at a very high scholarly level with theologians and bishops and cardinals from all over the world who were talking about how we can really live and form our Catholic identity, particularly in a world which is increasingly hostile to our faith. And the liturgies during the week were absolutely spectacular. You know, we had the Corpus Christi procession through the streets of New York on Thursday, with, as far as the eye could see, priests and seminarians and lay people, professional choirs who were part of the procession. It was incredible. And on the Feast of Corpus Christi, Thursday, we had the Auxiliary Bishop of New York, who told a great story about how when he was a young man, he was working as a sacristan in the same church where Elizabeth converted, so St. Peter's down on Barclay Street. And he and the parish priest often went to dinner together after the church was closed for the evening. And one evening, the priest asked John to come with him to the chapel behind the high altar, where the Blessed Sacrament was reserved in this magnificent church. The priest pointed to the tabernacle and said, "John, without Jesus really and truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, this room would be nothing more than a stone cold tomb." This young man went on to become Bishop O'Hara, who bluntly asked us all at this conference, "What are you? Do you have Jesus within you? Or are you a stone cold tomb?" I want you to think about this. If for some horrifying reason, right, we had to take our Lord out of the tabernacle, then this building here is just kind of an oddly decorated room. What makes this place the house of God and the gate of heaven is that our Lord, truly present in the most blessed sacrament, is here, and he waits for us. It is also the place where a church built of living stones, of the baptized faithful in communion with the faith handed down to us from the apostles, gathers to celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and the presence of God comes into our midst. He is the reason why we are here this morning. He is the reason why we're here at all. Bishop O'Hara told another story from an American saint. St. John Neumann, the first bishop of Philadelphia, was a tireless apostle and an incredible zeal for souls. And he's one of those people that, you know, you read his life story and you think, my God, this man did more in 24 hours than most people do in a lifetime, right? It's really incredible of the lengths that he went to form his people and to build up the kingdom of God. As bishop, he would work far into the night, writing letters and sermons and books, everything he could do to bring the faithful to Jesus. And that after a long, hard day visiting and going around and doing pastoral visits and confirmations and everything under the sun. This was a man who everything that he did was for Jesus. But one night, as he was asleep, his entire house went up in flames. Absolutely everything that he had, all of those books and all of those sermons and all those letters, everything that he had for the faithful, everything was destroyed except for one thing. The only thing that survived was a letter that he wrote to all of his parishes ordering them to observe every year 40 hours of Eucharistic adoration in their churches. Everything that the bishop did was destroyed, except for telling people to come to be with Jesus, to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament. Our Blessed Lord, who is truly present in the most holy sacrament of the altar, wants us to come and worship him. He wants us to come and adore him. He wants us, body and soul, not to be stone-cold tombs, but places where he dwells and in which others can see his sacred image. As the church, we are the body of Christ. We celebrate the body of Christ. We receive the body of Christ, and then we go to serve the body of Christ in our brothers and sisters. But we're only able to serve the body of Christ in our brothers and sisters. We can only be who we are as the body of Christ if we come and we kneel before him in praise and adoration and thanksgiving, and we let him transform our lives so that we can love as he loves without reserve. The Eucharist changes lives. Jesus in the Eucharist makes saints. He brings triumph in heaven from tragedy on earth. As J.R.R. Tolkien, the author of The Lord of the Rings, wrote, "Out of the darkness of my life, so much frustrated, I put before you the one great thing to love on earth, the Blessed Sacrament. There you will find romance, glory, honor, fidelity, and the true way of all your loves on earth, and even more than that."